What could they have done if they came back in the garden without that angel there with the flaming sword?
Eaten of the tree of life.
They could have eaten of the tree of life. So on the first thing, with that, there's two things that's important for us to see. The holiness of God put man out of the garden, right? Because they disobeyed. So God's holiness put them out. But really, in essence, God's love kept them out. Because had they eaten of that tree of life, you and I would have perished. We've been lost forever in our sins. So there you have the balance of the holiness of God, which is why he's to be feared. One of the reasons, one of the many reasons. And then the love of God. And these two things are perfectly balanced. And from Genesis 3 all the way to Revelation, we see this balance all the way through. We don't have time to look at it now. But it's an amazing thing about Scripture.
If I could just mention one other instance of that in Romans, I think it's Romans 11 or Romans 10, Paul breaks out in praise and adoration because having contemplated a little bit about God and his ways, he says, behold the severity and the goodness. Mm. Severity. So God is severe. He doesn't take sin lightly, but he's also good. And that's a very important balance that we see, in that we want to be, that's the kind of awe that we want to recapture, is to see his severity, to see his goodness, to see his sovereignty in the midst of evil, to see his sovereignty in the midst of good things, to see his sovereignty in managing all the affairs. In Daniel, for example, it says, he raises up and puts down kings. In Isaiah 40, it talks about the nations are as a drop of the bucket. And what happens is, when we lose sight of the awe of the greatness of who God is, something else must fill that capacity. Because our natural human capacity is we're always looking to something else outside of ourselves in order to reverence, in order to worship. And he says, what the next thing that happens is we look at national powers, and whether it's nationalism for our own countries of origin or natural nations that have exhibited power and influence in the world, we look to them. And what did he say concerning that? But they're nothing. They're a drop in the bucket. They're like dust on a scale. Nothing is to be compared with God. He is to hold an exclusive place in our thoughts, in our minds, in our thinking that separates him from everything else, and to which we're to bow in this awe and reverence. And then to realize that will impact everything else.
The question, we bring him to our level in order to understand him. Do we ever want or get to understand God? And is there a difference between understanding and knowing God? Mm-hmm.
There must be. Jeremiah chapter 9. You going there too? Mm-hmm. Beats it. Jeremiah chapter 9. It says, I'll start with verse 23. Chapter 9, verse 23. And thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But, here it is, let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, or justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. And there's probably several comments that could be made with this, and I'll just make one. And it impresses me that since the very beginning, God has had a desire that we know him. God has had a desire ever since the fall. He says, Adam, where art thou? I come in the cool of the day, and I want you to know me, and I want to have fellowship with you. And now he says the thing that we really should glory in here in Jeremiah is the fact that we understand and we know God. Now, in one sense, we could never understand him, because Isaiah also says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are his thoughts. So, on the one hand, we'll never understand and we'll never know him in the complete way. But is there a desire within our hearts, as Paul says, that I might know him? I think that's what he wants. And that's, I think, the crux here in Jeremiah. And maybe Martez or others have some comments.
Just one other comment is that there is no way we can exhaustively know or understand God. But to the measure that he has made himself known, he expects that to be our response. That we, if I know that he's omnipresent, how does that measure, how does that check where I go?
Yeah.
If I know that he's omniscient, how does that help me when I realize the thoughts that are going through my mind? To bring every thought captive, really, to the obedience of Christ is what Paul said. If I know he's omniscient, then I know he knows what I'm thinking. What am I thinking? If I know that he's omnipotent, then nothing happens that's outside of his purview. Doesn't catch him by surprise. So that's how we want to bridge the gap between the truth of who he is and how he has revealed himself in terms of our response. Understanding and knowing is in relationship to what he has revealed concerning himself. Now, time's really, really, really slipping away. And we're not going to really get through all the verses in chapter 40, but you want to read that for yourself. And then we just want to, as we close out chapter 40, because there's two other points I want to get to before we conclude. What he's talking about in chapter 40 is he has made the earth, he has demonstrated his power, he has done all these things that demonstrate how great he is. And then he says, you know what? This is the God who wants to be for you. This is the God who is for us. That this great God who commands all things and orders the creation can order your life. You know what I mean? Think about it. He orders the whole creation. He makes the stars revolve in their orbits and without colliding and without making all kinds of havoc. Is he not capable, able to control your circumstance and my circumstance? And so he says at the end of the chapter, they that wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord. They who respond to the greatness of who God is, for who he is, and see his power. We can wait on him. And he is going to do what's best for us. Now I want to just take a look, just to let that point sink in, as we just want to move to two examples in the scriptures of men who sort of caught this and what their reaction was. Turn to Exodus